I'm Jim Hodson, and I'd like to welcome you to Introspective. Please join us now for the next 60 minutes as we discuss topics of interest that affect each of our lives. Be prepared to call in with your questions in 30 minutes at 818-762-KKLA. And now, your host for Introspective, Craig Johnson.
Good evening and welcome to Introspective. I sort of launched tonight, didn't I? Good evening. Welcome
Good
to Introspective.
Evening, yes.
Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm fine. Do you feel short tonight?
I feel a little short.
Rosie, what, 6'7"?
6'5".
6'5".
Don't get the man
don't
mad.
Don't talk about my weight either.
And Craig is
yes, not going to have it.
You're a measly, what, 6?
Yeah, I'm 6'2 and a half. I'm 6'3.
Come on.
And we Robert Redford clone.
Rosie and I eat punks like you for breakfast.
What are you doing? You know what? I don't know if we should do it tonight with Rosie, but we have been, people that know Jim personally have been trying to convince me to get him to sing the Gidget theme. Now, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Now, if there's any interest out there, you Introspective fans, we want you to call in. If you'd like to hear Jim sing the original actual Gidget theme, either this week with Rosie, next week with Dr. Walter Martin, depending on your response, tonight on the phones,
good.
We will do possibly the Gidget theme.
Oh, the phones are ringing already.
Look at this. Can you imagine? We've got we need a biblical number. What's 7 calls for the Gidget theme, and we'll do the Gidget
theme.
The
reason being, I met Don Porter from Gidget. We rode in an elevator together. I sang the Gidget theme for him, and he loved it. And was amazed.
And Rosie's wondering why he allowed himself to come down here to this madness. Welcome to Introspective, and we're going to interview Rosie.
Yes,
we're
going to listen to his music. Some of his tunes, too. He has a new album. It's been out 3 or 4 weeks. It's called Committed. It's on Word Records. And we're going to listen to a song called Be Bold, Be Strong.
He sings, too.
Yes, amazingly. Very well.
Bill. Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Look, folks, beautiful Bill DeFoy has just, again, left his post.
Our producer
we're doing
is Bill DeFoy.
Bill. Pray for Bill, would you?
Any retransmission, rebroadcast of this program without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is strictly prohibited. Okay.
Bill is on the phone talking to, he has a pizza he just ordered, I think. But, well, why don't you talk to Rosie while I try to get his attention? Hello, Bill. Darling.
Rosie, who produced the album, Rosie?
Dick Tunney and Neil Joseph. Neil Joseph was the executive producer, and Dick Tunney was the producer.
Have you always...
You know, Dick Tunney worked a lot with Sandy Patty.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they do the music for Sandy Patty.
Hmm.
And it really is exciting because I was going to do a song down at Crystal Cathedral, you know, and when the guy was making the arrangement and he was saying, well, you know, our choir does not have the black sound, you know, we're going to do this people with the black sound. I said, right, because that album did not have any black singers on it either. Those white singers that sound great.
I saw you this morning at the Robert Schuller thing. When is that going to air? Next week?
3 weeks, I think.
3 weeks. That was incredible. I didn't know you could sing. And we're going to find out now. Gosh, here we are. Rosie Greer.
Be bold, be strong, Lord thy God with thee. Be bold, be strong, Lord thy God with thee. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold,
be strong.
Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold,
be strong.
Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory. Get ready.
Lord my God, with me. Be bold, be strong, Lord my God, with me. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. Walk in faith and victory, walk in faith and victory, walk in faith and victory. Are you ready to take this land?
Are you ready to take this land?
Are you ready to take this land? Are you ready to take this land? For the Lord,
I'm strong.
I'm strong. You know my God is with me. I'm bold.
I'm strong.
You know my God is with me. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed. Walk in faith and victory, walk in faith and victory, walk in faith and victory. For the Lord, my God is with me. For the Lord, my God is with me.
Roosevelt Greer from his committed album, brand new on Word Records, Be Bold, Be Strong. And without any further ado, welcome, Rosie Greer.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you
glad
for being our
here.
Guest. Well, we're here to talk to you about an interesting book. It's called Rosie, the Gentle Giant, on Honor Publishers. And that's a derivative, isn't it, of Harrison House?
Mm-hmm.
Buddy Harrison's thing?
It's, I guess, this is the company that they use to do the not-so-Christian books.
Was this difficult to write?
Very.
Why?
Well, you know, when you write about your own life, first of all, for a long time, people were asking me, why don't you do a book? And I didn't feel like I had anything to say, per se. And now, today, I feel like I have a lot more to say because of my commitment and my understanding today about what my relation is to God and how God can use who we are to bless and change others. That they too who've been searching, you know, I was searching for a long time. I guess all my life I was searching for an answer. The answer was, where am I going? My sister asked me long when I was a kid. She says, What are you gonna do when you grow up? You see, my idea of growing up was to be forever with my mom and dad.
You mentioned that in your book.
Yeah.
She always ask you? She said, what would you do if mom and dad died?
Yeah. And that was a tough question, you know, because I never thought of mom and pop dying. I always thought of them being alive, you know. And I didn't know very much about dying. I never heard anyone talk about death before. You know, we kill rabbits and possums, but for a human being to die and all that, you know, that was tough. And because I never thought of that. And it made me sad in a sense. How dare her ask me a question like that?
You were born in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know. In fact, what I read in your book, I had never heard from any other source about your life. You were born very poor. Robert Shuler asked you this morning, did you know you were poor? Tell us a little bit about those beginnings so people know a little bit about your roots.
I was born into a family, and there was 13. I only knew 11. Two of them died before I knew them. But, you know, we had a big family, and we lived on a farm, and we cooked our own food, and we made our clothing, and we didn't wear very many shoes, hand-me-downs, you know. But we did have enough to eat, and we were happy. We could go hunting. We could go fishing. We could get our own food out of the smokehouse and, you know, meat and kill a chicken and had our own bread and all that, or light bread, or white bread, or was a luxury.
So you like to eat. Is that a word from the Lord for me?
I guess everyone likes to eat. I mean, yeah, after all, I mean, you can't take care of a big body without food, you know.
Amen.
But, no, it wasn't so much I was like to eat. You know, we had corn and everything. I mean, just syrup and biscuits and all kinds of stuff. So we had plenty of food to eat, but any other thing, the other luxuries we didn't have.
You mentioned death and your fear of death, and in your book you talk about someone being killed right next to you, a man shot in an argument.
Yeah.
Tell a little bit about that, because when we talk about Bobby Kennedy, that a little bit of a motif is important there.
I was in Georgia. There was two stores that most the black people went to on the weekend. I mean, they went up there on a Saturday night or was Saturday night, not Friday, Saturday night. And they, whatever was going on up there, everyone went. And that was Saturday night at this place and then church on Sunday. And this one Saturday night, I went there, and beside me there was a man, two people got in an argument, and one just turned around and shot the other guy. And he fell on the ground backwards, and he was on his back, and one, his right leg was up, and he was trying to get up, but he was, you know, fatally wounded. And I looked, and it was horrible. And it was so quick, and that man was alive, and the next minute he was gone, you know. And it put a strong thought in my mind, you know, like kids used to say to me, say, Rosie, you're going to die. I mean, man, don't tell me I'm going to die. Oh, don't tell me that. I used to cry, you know.
I think that's a human condition, man. That's the biggest fear everyone has to face. That's the glory of what Christ came to conquer. And our basic human need.
Yeah, I spent 45 years afraid of dying. I mean, that's a long time. I mean, you know, when people talk about death, you're constantly thinking about it all the time. It doesn't go away. Yeah. You know, there's always this constant thought of death, always, you know. And I used to be afraid of flying the airplanes, and always, whenever there was any loudness around me, anger, I left. I didn't want to be around that, all that stuff. And so,
I read a quote in the book, and I want to get over the... Everyone knows about the Giants and the Rams, and we'll touch on that. I want to get into a little bit about you personally tonight. But you mentioned something that impressed me about your principal, who took you aside and told you that you had to make a decision at a very early age that you could be a leader for good, an example for good, or an example for evil. All throughout the scarlet thread of your book is that you've always had this desire to be an example, a leader. Tell us about that.
When I was in high school, my principal called me one day and took me aside and into his office, and he said, you're a big fellow, and kids look up to you, and you have a decision to make whether you're going to be a good example or a bad example, and it's up to you. No one can make that decision but you. And at that age, you know, I didn't say, well, I'm going to be a good example. I just made my mind up, and I went out. From that moment on, my whole desire was to be a good example, was to make sure that I conducted my affairs or my life in a manner which would be a good example to others. I had three brothers and a sister, and all the friends that I had, you know, even when my friends went out in the street at night to fight or do whatever they was doing, I wouldn't go. I stayed at home. I studied and I learned, and because I wanted to be a good student, I wanted to set those kind of examples. And so that's what I set out to do, those things.
When people think of Rosie Greer, they think of the lovable guy on Love Boat. I'm not kidding. I'm in my bedroom the other day, sitting in my Kennedy rocker. You're on Love Boat, Daniel Boone, and Ray Milland, I swear, with the two heads. And have you repented for that, Rosie, yet? That film is responsible for God not moving in your life.
the two heads.
Thank you, Rosie. Ray Milland humbled himself. I should have been exalted for that. But everyone has this big, lovable image of you, but I want people to go get the book. It's The Gentle Giant, Honor Publishing, Rosie. I want to get to your personal crisis. I mean, you go from the Giants to the Rams, and then you're a big star, big celebrity. The Bobby Kennedy thing, your TV, radio, and all that big stuff. But there was an inner yearning inside of you. Now, we don't. What didn't fill you about the lifestyle you were living?
I wasn't happy. I mean, I was I was doing all those things, but it wasn't never really me that was doing it, you know. It was like that was another guy that was inside. There was another guy that I was always watching, this other guy, and I'm saying, what's he doing, that guy? Why is he in college? What's he going to do there? It was always another guy. It was like I was two people. I was one guy was walking around in this big body and saying, what's happening, big fella? What's going on? And I couldn't find the joy that everyone thought I was supposed to have while I was doing all those things. You see, I was playing football, I was doing these things, I was going to all these places, and everyone was making a big fuss over me, and they were saying I was somebody, and yet I was that little kid down in Georgia walking around this big body saying, wow, what's going on here? What are you doing here? And it felt like that, and I begin to say there has to be more to life, because playing football, one day you're on the field and you stand there, you're looking, and you say, wait a minute. All these people are doing all this yelling about a football game. I mean, there's 70,000 or 80,000 people screaming and yelling about football. There's 11 guys or 22 guys on the field fighting and doing all kinds of things out there to try to score a touchdown. And that wasn't real. I mean, we practice all week, we'd run these plays and all that. That there had to be more to life than that. I mean, I began to think for a while that, well, maybe I'm just in the world to pay bills. I mean, it was always some bills. I was working hard to pay a bill or something like that. And yet there was no joy. There was no peace. Nothing that lasted.
What about the fickleness of the public where you are God one day, and then the next day you're not Johnny-come-lately anymore?
But see, I never went through that.
Because you were smart enough, what, to step out at the right time?
No, it wasn't that. It was just that with me, it's been high school football, college football, professional football, my own television show, acting, singing, writing. I've always moving. Even today, I go to the airports and people are coming over to send me for me to sign autograph. And young kids. One day, my wife and I came from someplace, and my wife and I was sitting there waiting for my luggage to come down. And some little 5-year-old kids came up and he said, "Rosie Greer." I said, "What?" I mean, that's five, man. Five, Rosie Greer. And I'm thinking, how can?
And you look down, and it was your son. It's amazing. Next story, Rosie. No,
but,
really,
but
is
it's,
that amazing?
It's just that I know that what's happening is not my doing. You know, like my wife and I the other night, we were at the Central Plaza Hotel, and we're sitting up at the head table. There's the rabbi over here next to my wife, and on the other side was Gloria Duke Majin and Ed Schaud over here, Mrs. Reagan and President Reagan, then Charlton Heston Senator Pete Wilson and all these people, and all behind me was all these actors and actresses, and I'm saying, wow, man. My wife said, what's God telling us?
And you're up at the head table sitting with who's Reagan? Is he a new politician now?
but what I'm saying is this, that it's something that I know that God is doing, and I know that he has a purpose. And that's the thing that I always want to be pliable, open to hear what God has for me to do. And I think I'm just coming into being what he wants me to be. I've been all these years of being molded and developed and changed and rearranged and filled with God's purpose and God's pleasure, that I would be a willing vessel to do what he wants me to do, as opposed to realizing that I'm so great in myself, because with me alone, I'm nothing. It's the power of God that let you know that he can do all things if we will only allow him to do it through us. He will touch the hearts. He will raise the dead. He will heal the blind. And he will do all those things through us if we will only surrender our lives and allow God to do his pleasure.
Amen, man. Put your hands on the radio, all of you right there. And just, amen, Rosie. By the way, this is Introspective, 99.5 FM, KKLA. My name is Craig Johnson, and our guest is Roosevelt Greer. He's sitting here in all of his pristine glory. Jim Hodson is actually in the sauna with us tonight.
Yes.
Did you bring the extra towels? It's hot in here, folks. Send in the tides. Why don't we go to our little station break thing that you just made in the other room? We'll be back in a second.
If you've been enjoying Introspective, perhaps you'd enjoy attending the weekly services at Bethel Christian Fellowship with in-depth Bible teaching. Wednesday nights with a study in the book of Hosea at the Hermosa Beach Community Center at 7:30. Friday nights, a study in the life of King David meeting at 7:30 at First Presbyterian Church of Santa Monica on 2nd Street between Wilshire and Arizona. Then our Sunday service, topical message, at 5:30 p.m., also at First Presbyterian of Santa Monica. Please join us at Bethel for great worship and Bible teaching. For more information on services or directions, call 213-456-3741. That's 213-456-3741. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, Jimmy. You know, Rosie, again, tonight, I'm usually much more structured when I've got a guest, but this is, you're like having family in here. And I want to ask you really a personal question. When you became a Christian, and you talk in your book about watching Fred Bryce on television and really being touched by God, quite often when celebrities become Christians, the Christian world or the Christian media picks them up right away. I mean, whether you're Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., if you've made three commercials that have run nationwide, that's a VIP to them. And they pick, you know what I'm saying? Did you ever think that they were exalting you too quick before you even had any foundational fundamentals in the Christian faith?
Well, first of all, as a football player, as an athlete, I was used to people rushing me places. But what I realized when I became a Christian, that I couldn't rush no place, that I had to sit and study the Bible. I had to be grounded in the Word, because I realized that I could go out and be burnt out and still not feel the joy of who I am in Him. And what I did when I first became a Christian, I went and visited. I visited everyone except Billy Graham and Jimmy Swaggart. I mean, I visit. I mean, you name them. I went and visited with them. And
did they lay hands on you, Rosie?
Now, what I realized was this: that I couldn't be who they were. I felt so disappointed when I went back home. I thought, who am I going to be like? You know, first pastor, my pastor, Jimmy. Jimmy Swaggart, I'd been watching, and I knew all the Dr. Hagen, so it just all Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Seville, T.L. Osborne, Daisy, Pat Robinson, Jim Baker,
Tammy, don't forget Tammy.
just everyone. I mean, it was just like TBN, Paul Crouch, and all of them. So I just came home. Dr. Bill Bright and Inkstrom from World Vision.
Ernest Angley, did you meet Ernest?
No, I didn't meet him. Okay. I didn't meet him.
All right.
James Robinson.
Robinson. Is it Robinson?
Robinson.
Robinson. He's looking Robinson. At the wife for a nod. Robinson.
Oral Roberts. Oh, yeah.
Oral. You met Oral, too?
Oral Roberts. Oh, yeah. Oral Roberts. And there was, did I mention Jane Crouch? Jane.
Ooh, Jan?
Yeah, Jan.
Who's Jane, Rosie? There are going to be lawsuits
I must be excited.
What an electric room here we have tonight. But you saw all of this, and you were trying to pattern yourself after
Osteen. John Osteen.
John Osteen.
Jerry Seville. And Mario Morello. Arthur Blessed, right? I mean, when you meet all these people, you go home and you try to figure out
which one am
I going to be like? And I agonized, because they all knew so much and they had such great visions and all that. And one night I prayed. I said, Lord, I can't be like them. I don't know nearly enough. And then it was so amazing, because what happened was that God just kind of spoke to my spirit, and He said, I didn't tell you to be like them. I want you to be like you. You know, and it seemed like I just landed on the ground on my feet. It was wonderful to realize that I could be like myself, and I could laugh and enjoy being
normal.
Yeah.
And you don't have to put on the preacher's voice,
right,
do you, Rosie?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I want to get a little more along the line of the content of your book here for a second and cover a few of the chapter titles. But before we do that, I want to announce Open Phone California is open in 5 minutes. You want to talk to Roosevelt Greer, you call 818-762-5552. That's 818-762-5552. This is 99.5 FM. Is that where we are?
Yes, Kelly, right.
My name is Craig Johnson. The show is Introspective. And do call. By the way, Jim, they just gave me a video thing here that you screwed up the phone number on the promo. It's 457-3741. So, thank you, brother. we thought he was infallible up until now. Rosie, one of the chapters, Triumph Before Tragedy, I know this is well-worn ground, and Dr. Schuller asked you about it, but Bobby Kennedy and your involvement with politics. And I also want to get to the Jimmy Carter thing, so let's get through this relatively quick. How did you meet Bobby? When did you meet him?
I met him 67. They were doing an affair in Washington, D.C. to raise money to send kids out of the inner city for the summer, off a few weeks during the summer. And I went there and I met Bobby and Ethel and, you know, all the Kennedy family and so many of their great friends. You know, they had tremendous friends of great stature, you know, like the Supreme Court Justice. I met Wizard White.
Wizard, yeah.
And Lauren Bacall and some of the great newscasters, anchormen of network, and just got to know them, and it was just really wonderful to meet all those people, and felt a very great part of them because they were all very warm and very loving, very caring. And so when Bobby decided to run for the presidency, I wanted to help. You know, I called him up and said I was going to support him and do whatever I could to help him. And I'd come campaign with him, and it was just really great. I mean, I got to know him, and it was just it was my very first commitment to
politically.
Yeah, and so.
But it was the man, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was not politics whatsoever. You loved the man.
Party.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't care very much about what party he belonged to. It was just that he was a person that I had met, and I felt like he could make a change in our society. That he could help to change the world, and he drew blacks and whites and olds and youngs and rich and poor together. And so it was really wonderful when we began to see, we won California, and we were all thinking that we had it then, and it's just a matter now of going on doing the other things. And so that night after Bobby finished speaking, I was assigned to take care of Ethel, and he jumped off the back of the stage, you know, with Paul Schrake to go back a different way than we had planned, and threw everyone off. And so I jumped off the bike, and Bill Barry helped me take Ethel down off the back of the stage, and we took off to go and catch up with Bobby. And everyone was trying to, you know, catch up with him. And then when he turned a curve in the back there, he went out of sight for a minute, and shots rang out. And so I pushed Ethel down, or she fell down. She had a habit of falling when there was loud noise around her. And later I jumped up and ran forward, and when I went forward, I saw Sirhan there and people grappling around him, but they didn't have him. So I went and I caught him by his leg and pulled him up on a table and to make sure that and locked his legs and grabbed his one hand, because George Plimpton was grappling with him trying to take the gun out of his hand, had it pointed at his face. So I put my hand over the gun and my finger under the trigger so it couldn't go off. And I wrenched it out of his hand, and it was just really, it was bedlam back there. Everyone was screaming and yelling. No one knew what to do, and actually no one knew. And so later when...
It's like going into a dream, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like a whole vacuum around me. Like, everything was moving almost in slow motion, almost. You couldn't really... I mean, I was screaming, it seemed I lost my voice, and I was looking, trying to find out where Bobby was at, and saw him down and all that. Anyway, later when Bobby was gone and Sirhan was gone, I was sitting there on the ground. I was thinking about, you know, what a tragedy that we refuse to love. We refuse. How could someone hate another person? And he came out of a crowd that we didn't know he was there. There was all those faces there in the crowd. And you didn't know that was a face that was hate, filled with hate or anger, that wanted to destroy all of our dreams, and that's what happened.
You're listening to 99.5 FM, KKLA. The show is Introspective. My guest is Roosevelt Greer. We're going to be going to the phones in the next few minutes. The number to get your calls in now is 818-762-5552. 818-762-5552. Let's jam the phones, and we'll be right back.
For the last time, no.
Honey.
No.
You'll feel better.
I feel fine, except for the neck and shoulder pain.
See, what have you got to be afraid of? A chiropractor will only...
You said that word. I told you to never...
Although hand-neck adjustments can be effective, Dr. Mark J. Wogan at Wogan Chiropractic Offices in Encino uses a finely-tuned instrument for painless and effective neck adjustment. So why don't you call us today? That's Wogan Chiropractic Offices in Encino, California, 818-906-0163. We'd love to help you toward a happier and healthier life. That's Wogan Chiropractic in Encino,
818-906-0163. Sharing the word throughout your day on KKL.
My guest tonight is Roosevelt Greer, author of The Gentle Giant on Honor Publishing, and also Weird Records has just put out Rosie's new album, Committed. Are you happy with this album?
Yeah. I'm singing better than ever in my whole life.
You're not kidding, man. You sing.
Yeah, and I really, it was like every song, God taught me how to sing it specially. And each time it came out, I was so thrilled. For the first time in my life, I was able to do the kind of singing that I wanted to do. I was able to feel it, and I know it's because of the love of God that's inside, in knowing that the song was produced and recorded to minister to the lives of men and women, to open up wider doors, to expand my ministry, to expand my opportunity to reach people and tell them about Jesus and tell them that they are special people. Like, every person is special, and they ought to know that.
You know, most people don't know right now that you run a very special organization called Are You Committed?
Yes.
Now, real quick, because we've got some calls here. By the way, get your calls in now. Jam the phones. Nobody has responded on whether they want to hear Jim do the Gidget theme. I guess that's a vote against you. Bill DeFoy, our producer, wants to hear it. I don't know what Betty wants to hear it. But do call. 818-762-5552. What was I just saying before I went
about
off?
The Are You Committed?
Oh, yeah. Are You Committed? Tell us about that, inner city working with kids.
Well, what I found out through my philanthropical work was that... you could help a lot of people, but the way you could really help them is teach them the foundation about God. Teach them who they are in Him. And then what you build on something that's going to last. To put your hopes and all your thoughts in trusting in the Lord. And then you could do whatever you desire to do. And so what part of our work is to teach young people the love of God, and then to teach them skills that they can go out and get work. They can do all kinds of work.
You told me in the office the other day that you were involved in Giant Step and Lord knows how many humanistically based type things. And you told me that you'd get kids out of jail, you'd get them jobs, you'd get them this and that. And just like you said, the dog going back to his vomit. I mean, there was an inner need that wasn't being filled by your good intentions. And
right.
You said that depressed you.
Sure.
Horribly.
Yeah, it was because, you see, what I began to realize that my life was no different than theirs. That... like they were in one fix, and I was over here in another fix, and we all needed help. And so when I came to know the Lord, you know, that's when I realized that this is what we all need. We all need that in order for us to be fulfilled in our lives. That goes all the way back when I was standing on the football field. That the need that I had was a love need. It was a need to be feel free to love. It was free to give, with freely give. And so when I came to that knowledge, I began to realize that that's what the whole world need. And if we would only do our part, you see, every person is part of the whole. Each person have a special work to do. And if they will only open themselves up and let the power of God come into their lives and study the Bible. See, part of that, you must study. Because the Bible said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How can you do the work of God when you don't really know Him? You have to know Him, and the only way you're going to know Him, by not always listening to you teach Him or me teach Him or Jim, but they can get into the Bible and study themselves, and the Holy Spirit will direct them and teach them so that they will be strong men and women of God.
So you now have two legs to stand on. You're still working in a humanitarian sense. You're getting the kids, but you're giving them the missing piece of the gospel. You're not shoving it down anyone's throat. I've noticed that about your organization.
Right.
You're not interested in slapping people upside the head. But you have an answer now. You have actually something to offer them.
Yes, something that works. Something that never fails. You know, we got the never fail thing. You know, like we're seeing the big emphasis today on stopping the flow of drugs and teaching people how to find an answer outside of drugs. Well, there's an answer. There's a high that a man never have to come down from, a high on Jesus.
Amen. The gospel.
Yeah,
huh?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, now when you go and speak. By the way, Danny from Los Angeles, you're hanging on the phone there. We'll get to you in just a second. Anyone else you want to call in? Call in now. 818-762-5552. But whether we get any more calls or not, I don't care. We're having some fun. When you go speak. Do you do the, you know, life is as a football game? And I mean, did people expect you to do the football analogies and wear this Adidas outfit you've got here and be Rosie Greer? Do you catch people by surprise?
I don't know. What I do, I go to love. I go to share what I've learned. I go to share the experiences that I've had. And I also have the answer to a lot of the pressing problems. And the answer is still in that one person. It's all in that one name, Jesus.
Why don't we go to a call? We've got Danny from Los Angeles. Danny, you're on the air. What's your question for Rosie Greer?
Hello, Rosie.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, this is Brother Danny. I'm also known as the L.A. Motorcycle Evangelist.
All right.
I witness the people off of a bike down here in what they call the war zone, Southside L.A.
Amen.
And I'm always looking for an outreach, good outreach to refer people to for growing in the Lord and growing in the Word. And I had a couple questions for you. Where do you fellowship, and where does a person go to get involved with AYC?
Okay, I fellowship at Crenshaw Christian Center. That's 7901 Vermont. And AYC is on 30th and Grand. 30th and Grand. So what we like to do is go, we have a meeting on Saturday, and then we go out in the street and all week long, and we're doing all kinds of things. So if you want to get involved, you know, I mean, I think on a motorbike is tremendous. I think that's a great way to do it.
You have any other questions, Danny?
I don't think Roa, but
you have any other questions, Danny?
I wanted to know, Rosie, what do you think of the so-called charismatic movement as compared to good, discerning Bible teaching?
Well, see, that's part of the Bible teaching. It's the gifts of the Spirit. That's what it is. And so a person can either want to be charismatic, or he doesn't have to be. All you got to be is love God and know who you are in Christ. That's the real. If you know that you're saved, that's what you need to be.
Thank you so much, Danny. Appreciate it. Yeah, charismata, man. We're charismatics whether we like it or not. It means grace gift. We've all been graced by God's mercy. Rosie, let me ask you something. Going back to the Kennedy thing for just a minute, you were there when Bobby was killed, and you were also involved. Then you involved yourself with President Carter, who you were very close with, and now President Reagan. Are they ever using you for the black thing, quote unquote? Was Bobby and his people, were they pushing that ever on you? Did you feel used?
No, if I was used, I was used like I wanted to be used. I wanted to reach people. I wanted people to be excited about who they were. I mean, if you're black, be proud, be excited about being black, and be the best that you can be, because there is no difference. One thing that I learned a long time ago, that irregardless of whether I was black or white or brown or red or yellow, there's no one that was any better than I, and I was no better than anyone else. And I think that's the thing that people need to realize, that no one can use you if you don't want them to.
Yeah.
We all use one another in some way or another.
But you are, to a great degree, colorblind. I mean, there just doesn't seem to be any blick or chip on your shoulder or some kind of a weird thing that you want to get off over to people.
No, only one person I want people to know Jesus and Him crucified.
Amen.
And resurrected.
Amen. Well, what does Beverly have to tell us? Beverly from Norwalk, you're on the air. What's your question for Rosie Greer?
Yes. Just listening to your interview, and it's like it's coincidence. It's just what I needed. I'm a Christian, and I would like to write a book. I don't really know how to go about that. I know that I have a story to tell that would be beneficial to others, I think. And I think that it would please God. And I would like Mr. Greer to maybe I can get in touch with him or...
Well, do you have a question, Beverly, per se? We'll give his address in just a few minutes. Do you have a special question for Rosie?
Nothing other than just how I can get in touch.
Okay, well, why don't I give the address now, and that way people, if they have any questions for Rosie, can definitely write him a letter. Get your pens out, your paper out. It's Roosevelt Greer, 3005 South Grand, 3005 South Grand, Los Angeles, California, 9007, or you can just write to Are You Committed at the same address, and you can get a hold of Rosie there. Rosie, let me ask you, on your album, I mean, I see this, I actually see, we've got Deacon Jones listed on this thing. And what's that dude that sells the flowers? Is he all right? We've been worried about him. Merlin, yeah, how's he doing?
They're tremendous guys. In fact, I keep in contact with those guys all the time.
The Fearsome Foursome.
Yeah.
Takes us back a few years. Lamar was actually on this. Lamar Lundy, huh?
Yeah.
You said you kept him and Deacon way back.
Kept him in the crowd.
Kept him way back in the crowd. So you're still in contact with all of these people?
Yeah. We keep in close contact. I was just going to, let me make one comment to the lady that
you sure.
Talked. She wanted to know how she could do it, write a book. You get your tape recorder and you tape it. Just tape your story on a tape recorder and then get someone, a transcriber, or do it yourself and have them transcribe it and then get you some editors to edit it. And then go over chapter by chapter and making sure that you said exactly what you want to say. And it's not hard, but it's long.
It takes a long time. Yeah. What are you planning? Are you like on a Holy Ghost preaching circuit? Are you on a speaking engagement circuit? How do you make money?
Well, God supply my needs, but I do go out and I speak various places and they give me an honorarium. And that's how I've been living. I haven't done a movie in about three and a half years.
Is that intentional?
No, I would like to do a movie, but I'm not.
I mean, you're not one of those Christians that thinks that you could never ever do anything unless it was like Jesus oriented, right?
I would only do a film that you could bring your sons and daughters to. Uh-huh. I mean, some of those things that I've watched and some very excellent actors and actresses, they're doing things that. I mean, I find it hard to believe that they
compromise.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, are you planning anything in the future?
I would like
more
to,
records,
I would
TV.
Like, I would like to produce a movie or do television and do more singing and more writing.
Betty from Los Angeles, you're on the air with Roosevelt Greer. What's your question? Hello, Betty. You're on the air, Betty. Okay, she's not there. She's invisible. Thank you, Donna. Type the names in properly, dear. You know, my big question, we talked about this in the office the other day. When you ran with Bobby and you were very close to Ethel and Jackie Kennedy and the whole gang, something happened in 1980, sort of a breach between you and the Kennedys. What was that?
Well, when Teddy came in, see, Teddy had said all the while that he was not going to run in 80, and I had already made a commitment with President Carter that I was going to work with him. And when Teddy came in, I'm an athlete. When I make a commitment, I don't jump around and say, well, because my friend came in, I'm going to change. Because I felt that President Carter had been doing the very best he could as president, and I didn't see any need to change. I want to stay with the man I made a commitment with. And so I stayed with Bobby, and they felt like in some way I had betrayed them. And it really manifested itself later on when I was at the convention. They felt like that I had made a bad mistake in not changing going with Teddy. And so it kind of hurt our relationship. And since that time, I've been by Ethel's house when her son died. And I met
David,
with Teddy a couple of times, and Sergeant Shriver. But you know, I've made a lot of phone calls and I didn't get any phone calls back. But what I realized later on, I prayed to God and I asked him, I said, you know, what did I ever do to the family besides love them and want the very best for them? And but the answer I got back after agonizing for a long time was that you're not to idolize anybody, and that you love them, and that's what to do, but don't idolize anyone. And so I was able to release, I released them and release myself.
And now you're involved with that gentleman in the Oval Office right now.
Yeah.
Supporting him.
Yeah, I find that he and I have ideas, like I'm talking about spiritual ideas. We agreed on prayer in school. We prayed on abortion. We agreed on other issues about the needs of people in the inner city that until the economics came from within. Of course, the government had a responsibility to make sure that everyone had their inalienable rights, but the government was not responsible for, you know, making sure that my son go to school or anything like that. And so granted, there has been prejudice in the country, but we all had to rise up and take authority and do those things that we ourselves were able to do in order to become economically free.
What do you want to do with Are You Committed? What do you want to do with inner city kids? What's your vision?
My vision is to see those young people aspire to be the best that they can be. One, to know the Lord, and two, to be prime examples of being able to rise up and to achieve their dreams. They can make it. And it's not because they're black, or they're white, or they're brown, or they're red, but because they decide to do it. And I want them to be excited about who they are. They're precious human beings. We all are. And we can achieve our dreams.
You're listening to KKLA 99.5 FM. My name is Craig Johnson. The show is Introspective. My guest is Rosie Greer for the next 15 minutes. And right before we go to another one of Rosie's songs, and it's adequately titled, Are You Committed? We're going to go to Betty in Los Angeles. What's your question for Rosie Greer? Hello, Betty.
Yes.
What's your question for Rosie Greer?
Well, my question is, I agree that the Bible and Jesus could be an answer, but is it a complete answer to people's problems? In other words, some people have problems accepting all the beliefs of the church, and then too, they might find joy and peace to an extent, but it wouldn't solve all their problems.
Well, Betty, we're going to be dealing with a lot of that subject matter next week with Dr. Walter Martin. Do you have a direct question for Roosevelt Greer? A question about Rosie?
That isn't a good question.
Oh, it's a good question, but that's not our subject tonight. Mm-hmm. Could you maybe call in?
I thought it was because he said that was the answer, Jesus. And
okay.
Well, let me. Jesus is the answer for the world today. I know so many times that people think, like, I went through a lot in my own life. I was divorced, and I was depressed. I felt like everything was closing in on me. I didn't have enough money. I didn't have enough anything. And yet, when I came to know God, I came to trust in Him and not to lean on my understanding, I began to see ways that I never saw before. I began to have answers that I never dreamed of. First of all, I became happy. It didn't mean that I didn't. Sometimes I wasn't broke, because sometimes I am, but I'm rich. It didn't mean that sometimes I might not be sick, but I know that I'm healed. You see, the idea is to know that it's not hopeless, that I should be excited about my life. So the answer to your question, I know that Christ is the answer, if you trust in Him and learn.
Thank you very much, Betty. Rosie, I want to get into another area right now. In your book, you went from Georgia, and then you went to Jersey. And you said in the book that you were a quick little kid. I mean, you were found out real early that you were gifted, your size, the difference about you. When you found out that you could do something really good, I mean really good in sports and so on, is that when you found yourself? Is that when you found out who and what you were?
Mm-mm.
When did you?
When I found Christ. He was there all the while. That was the only time that I ever began to believe that I'm special, that I'm a precious and valuable human being. All the way up there, I kept looking at myself as, what's he doing? I mean, how did he do that? But when I came to know Christ, I then begin to understand just what it really means to be free, because that's really what we all are striving to be, is free to be who we are. And when you're free to be who you are in Him, you're really free.
Tell us about the song, Are You Committed, that we're about to hear.
It was written by Neil Joseph and another fellow. I don't recall his name.
Niles Borup.
Niles, that's right, no. And,
Niles Borup?
They wrote like this song.
Excuse me after saying that.
They wrote this song for Are You Committed as part of the their commitment.
Let's hear it right now. Roosevelt Greer from his brand new album Committed, and the song is Are You Committed. Run out to your bookstores, get the album now, and if you buy now, we have 3 tapes of Rosie. No. And give them the book. If you get the book and the album, do they get like a 12-tape teaching series or something, Rosie?
No.
The Gentle Giant, Honor Publishers. It is a nice book. I really enjoyed it. Let me give the address if you want to get in touch with Rosie. In fact, Rosie, could you give that address to us again?
It's 3005 South Grand Avenue and the L.A. 90007. It's called Are You Committed or Rosie Greer.
This has been fun, Rosie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I've enjoyed
incredible.
It.
You have, really? Is it the sauna in here? Were you gonna?
No, it's really wonderful. You know, I think...
You lost 100 pounds, which is... It's like... It's amazing, folks. I mean, it's like the healing line or something. Did you? Was it too hot for you or what?
No, as a matter of fact, I really enjoyed being here. It's always good to get someplace where you can hopefully inspire men and women to get to know the Lord.
Thank you.
Because that's really what I like to to know that people are hearing through whatever I have a chance to do, that at least they know that God does change lives, and it changed mine.
Thank you so much. And if you want to know anything about Rosie, you can write to that address, and you'll find out about his speaking engagements, his itinerary, when he's going to be in your area. And welcome back, Jim Hodson.
Hello.
What are we doing next week? Now, we had nothing on the Gidget theme tonight at all.
I'm disappointed and
wait a minute. No, no. My video thing says we have seven people in the office who want to hear the Gidget theme.
Maybe next week. We'll have to ask Dr. Martin.
We'll ask Dr. Martin. He'll write a paper on it, for heaven's sakes.
We spilled the beans. Next week, Dr. Walter Martin of the Christian Research Institute will be our guest.
And our subject
is Roman Catholicism.
Roman Catholicism. And we're going to be hitting all the bases possible.
Yes.
And we want you to call in early. And Dr. Martin will be here. And by the way, stay tuned, because I met my three heroes since I've been doing this radio show the last 3 months.
Yes.
Norman Geisler, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, and Walter Martin. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Montgomery is the
next,
man.
Stay tuned.
And he's probably listening right now with Lloyd Greenwood and the gang down there. Stay tuned for Christianity on Trial. If you have any of your Bible questions, call in and speak to this man.
Mm-hmm.
And if we pray hard enough, we may get him on this program.
Yes, soon we hope. If you have any questions for us or would like the introspective newsletter, please write to us. And also, if you could help us out financially, we need your help, because it costs huge sums of money to buy the time here at KKLA. Please write to us. Send what you can. Box 6555, Malibu, California, 90264. The address is coming up again. Also, we have services at Bethel Christian Fellowship if you need in-depth Bible teaching. We have services on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And the number to call for information is 213-457-3741. That's 213-457-3741. You can call tomorrow morning. We'd love to have you come worship with us.
You know, we could get Rosie to really threaten people if they don't give. Rosie, these people aren't giving. Would you say a word here?
I just like to say that the only way you're going to keep the word going is that someone has to pay to get the television and the radio airways. And the word is going forth and need men and women to join up and participate.
And we will give your home address to Rosie.
To Rosie. And he will come around.
Merlin with some flowers, you'll bring the needlepoint. Yeah. We'll have a Tupperware party or something. Well, Jimmy, we've got like 2 minutes to
sing the Gidget theme.
Should we build this audience up. We've heard nothing from the listening audience. And by the way, one more thing in conclusion before we bore you to death with our rambling. There's something that Jim and I and Rick, my roommate, are going to be doing, hopefully, this Friday, which we cannot tell you about, which Jim doesn't even know about. But this time next week, we may have a special little promo to play for you. And it's a mystery.
Well, who knows? We need prayers. Also, we're working on a television project.
Yes, tell
together,
about
that. Which,
don't give
the
name. It's not copyrighted.
A televised version of this show, perhaps. We could use your prayers on that, so we'd be directed properly and doors would be open.
Amen.
Because television is the medium to reach the world. And
I can put my evangelist wig on and we can make a fortune.
Yeah, evangelist team.
Next week, Dr. Walter Martin. Until next week, this is
Jim Hodson, our producer, with Bill DeFoy, Phones,
Donna Freed. And Mrs. Greer, that pretty lady, has been sitting out there talking, and she still doesn't know that we're talking about her right now. Until next week, God bless you. Have a beautiful week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us this week for Introspective. For a list of previously taped programs and for all correspondence, please address your letters to Introspective, Bethel Christian Fellowship, Post Office Box 6555, Malibu, California, 90264-6555. And please join us next week for another interesting and informative hour. This program is produced by Bethel Christian Fellowship of Santa Monica, California, and is made possible by Wogan Chiropractic Offices in Encino, California, and the Friends of Introspective in this area.
Sharing the word throughout your day on KKLA.